John chapter 1, the message today is about the all-sufficiency of Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John beareth witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I said, He that cometh after me is become before me, for he was before me. For of his fullness we all receive, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, for the Son that shines from heaven, and for the Son of God whom Thou didst send from heaven, we give Thee thanks. We have eyes, our Father, and we see Your creation because of the light of the Son of heaven. There is another sphere, our God, of which we know nothing, but Thou hast sent Thy Son from heaven, and He shines more brightly than this, than the Son of heaven, upon the creation in which we live. We thank You for the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I thought that Thou hast known that we have only begun to learn of Him. Thou hast told us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thou hast given us the exhortation that I may know Him. Thou hast spoken concerning those mature ones. I write unto you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. We thank You for the preciousness of such knowledge, and it is our desire, Father, that it shall be increased this morning. We have read of His fullness that we all receive. We are thankful that this fullness manifests itself in all sufficiency to meet every need of man. Thou hast read to us from Thy Word concerning some of the areas of that sufficiency. Our Father, all things were made by Him. All things consist. He is the one who redeemed us. We thank You for the all sufficiency of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that these things that are true shall be acknowledged as true by all who are here, by the working of Thy Spirit in the heart and the working of Thy Spirit upon the lips of him who speaks. So, Father, bless us this morning. We confess our sins, as Thou hast promised, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I remember the words of Job. He had been casting challenges at God until the time that God appeared to him and spoke it. And after that, Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I uttered things that were beyond my comprehension. Now I know that there is nothing too hard for thee. There is no purpose of thine that can be restrained. He said, I've heard of thee, now I've seen thee. I pour myself out of tent in dust and ashes. Understand that. Before Job experienced it, it was already true. But it meant nothing to Job until he experienced it. And all these things that I am telling you this morning about the Savior are true whether you believe them or not. But they're of great benefit to you until you experience. But you do, then with joy you will abhor yourself, and you will acknowledge that nothing is too difficult for God, and that no presence of God can be restrained. I mention Job because there was a God in heaven of whom he had heard, but he had never seen that God. But then he saw him, he communicated with that God. Then he said, everything that I heard is true. There was a great queen of old, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, and she heard of the fame of Solomon. And she came from the end of the earth to prove the wisdom of Solomon. And it says that she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And it says that after she finished, there was nothing that Solomon had not told her, explained to her. And her confession was the same thing. She said, I had heard the report of you in my own country. He said, I did not believe it. She said, but now I have come, I have conversed with you, I have seen you. He said, the half has not been told. Isn't that remarkable? So, notice, in the first area, there was a God. I haven't seen God with my physical eye the way that Job did, but there was a God in heaven, and some such as Job, such as Moses, such as David, they conversed with God. They were lifted up into the presence of God and saw him. Saul, the apostle, who became Paul, the apostle, he was caught up to the third heaven. But understand this, before they saw God, it was still true that there was a God. And all the reports of him from the scriptures and those that had had experiences with him, all of those things were true. But only after they personally experienced those things did confessions like these come from their lips. I had heard of you, but I did not believe it. I thank God for the honesty of that Queen of Sheba. She said, I had heard, I did not believe it. She said, but now I've come, and I put you to the test, and what I heard was not half of your fame and your glory. The half has not been told. I promise you this, that all the true things that you have ever heard told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, they seem incredible. They seem impossible to be true. But not you, as so many of us by faith, are introduced to the Lord Jesus, see with the eyes of our heart the Lord Jesus, then we confess the same as Job did, the same as the Queen of Sheba did. Everything that I heard about you is true, and the half has not been told. And that is what I am telling you this morning, and that is what I told you for the last 2 weeks before this morning about the all-sufficiency of the Father, and this morning, in particular, His Son. I told you the first week about the sufficiency of God's evidence to men and opportunities for men. The evidence that He is God, and the opportunity of men to have that God become their Father. The sufficiency of evidence, it says, the heavens, in Romans 1, are those evidences. And it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And Paul says that men are without excuse because God has given sufficient evidence. The heavens declare sufficient evidence. An opportunity? The Lord Jesus Himself, in Matthew 11, spoke of the opportunities of those at Capernaum and those in the land of Israel where he spoke, the abundance of opportunity. So there was sufficiency of evidence and opportunity. And last week I told you about the sufficiency of God's grace. The sufficiency to successfully enable all men that are seeking to become His children to be successful in that undertaking, and of the sufficiency of God's grace for all of those who do become God's children to live for the glory of God as His children. And today, I've read a little bit from John, but I want to show you that all of these sufficiencies that I've spoken of the Father, in the whole Word of God, that they are all concentrated in one man. There are some, like Solomon, to whom you go for wisdom. But even Solomon in his wisdom had to send to Hiram when he wanted his house and his temple built. There were Bezalel and Aholiab. There were these men that others had to go to for different undertakings. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, all the wisdom ascribed to the Father is contained in the Son. And that's why I had that portion in Colossians chapter 1 read, because it gives the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, it says this. It says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you discover them, and your heart is thrilled. And then it says concerning Sheba, the Queen of Sheba. She came, and she was going to embarrass the Lord Jesus. She was going to prove him, Solomon. She was going to embarrass him and show that there was a question to which he had no answer. But it said that when she got through talking to him, there was no spirit left in her. And then there was that honest confession. And even the enemies of the Lord Jesus, even though they did not accept him, they had to confess the truth of the wisdom of the Son of God. So the Lord Jesus answered their questions. They said, Master, you have answered well. And not one of them dared to ask him any more questions. They understood that he was a man who had superlative wisdom. They were no match for him. And though they did not embrace him as Savior, they acknowledged his wisdom. Now, what God wants to do for his creatures today is to have you to experience the reports that you've heard concerning the Lord Jesus. Who is the Savior of sinners? Well, I've heard what Jesus is. As a child, I sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I've heard that he's good. I've heard that he came from heaven. I've heard ever so many things about the Lord Jesus. But most of us are like Job and like the Queen of Sheba until we have a personal experience with him. And my promise to you is this, that if as Job and if as the Queen of Sheba, you put the Savior to the test, there will be no spirit left in you, and you will say, I spoke things that were beyond my comprehension, things that I understood not. I understand now that there is nothing too difficult for you, and no purpose of mine can be restrained. But this is something that has to be learned. And the Lord Jesus on earth proved that he was all sufficient for whatever need existed among men. Let me tell you a few of them. There was hunger, and the Lord Jesus was sufficient. There was sickness, and the Lord Jesus was sufficient. There was weariness of soul, and the Lord Jesus was sufficient. Whatever need existed on earth, the Lord Jesus proved himself sufficient, and God determined to give him a background that would make his sufficiency shine forth more brilliantly by giving a background of the failure men. Let me tell you again, briefly, about the way the hunger of man was met by the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. When the Savior said to Philip, what are we going to do with these 5,000 hungry men and women? He was quoting Philip. And Philip said, confessedly, I do not know what to do. And the Lord Jesus said, well, what do you have to eat? They said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Listen. The Savior said, bring them hither to me. You see? To hungry people. There is no solution for their hunger. And then Jesus said, you bring them to me. All right. In Matthew chapter 17, there was a poor father who had a demon-possessed son. And he had brought that son to the apostles, 9 of the apostles in the valley. And they had tried to cast out that demon, and they were unable. And the Lord Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John, and he saw the commotion that was taking place in the valley, and he said, what happened here? And the father came and explained about the condition of his son, and he ended it with these words, and I brought my son to your disciples, but they were not able to heal him. And he said nothing to the Lord Jesus. He said, bring him hither to me. You see? Every time God gives the background of man's failure, and then he gives the all sufficiency of his son. Man is in need of food. And the Lord Jesus said, then turn that over to me. Man is in need of deliverance from satanic power. The Lord Jesus said, bring those in such a need to me. And the world is filled with men and women with weary souls because of sin. And the Lord Jesus said, come unto me. The world is filled with lack of wisdom. They have no answers to all the problems that exist. And when the Lord Jesus was talking to that woman in John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria, she began to understand the wisdom of this man to whom she was talking. But she dismissed him with these words. She said, well, you say one thing about where men should worship, and we Samaritans say another thing. She said, but someday everything will be resolved. I know that the promised Messiah is going to come. And when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. He will declare unto us everything that we need to know. And the Lord Jesus said, why, I that speak unto thee am that Messiah. Isn't that remarkable? There are people that are hungry, who can meet the needs of hungry people. The Lord Jesus said, I can. Bring them to me. Here are people that are under satanic power who can deliver them. The Lord Jesus said, bring them to me. Here are those whose souls are weary with sin. Who can do anything about it? The Lord Jesus said, come unto me. Here is a world that is filled with those that do not have the answers. And the Lord Jesus said, why, I'm the Messiah that's going to come and declare you all things. You come and ask me. You see? That is why I'm telling you about the Lord Jesus. That every existing need of mankind in the whole of God's creation, all of it is found in the Lord Jesus. Because when I told you about the heavens declare the glory of God, we did not know until later in the life of Christ that all of God's creation is brought into existence by the Lord Jesus. We're told 3 times that. We're told in John 1, we're told in Colossians 1, and we're told in Hebrews chapter 1. John said, all things were made by him. So, when the heavens declare the glory of God, the heavens are declaring the glory, the wisdom, the omnipotence, inherent in the Savior that became flesh and came to earth. You say, well, in that one man, yes, it says in Colossians 1, it says, in him were all things created. This is what is so important. Usually it says through him, dia, but it says also in him. So it is not only that the Lord Jesus is God's agent, but in him there is the potential, as in the Father, to bring creation into existence. And that is why when I speak of the all sufficiency of Christ, I'm telling you what he was before he came to earth, and what he was when he came to earth. Not one bit of his deity was set aside. The glory, yes, but the glory
shining forth upon men, why, the Father himself said, move this, you cannot see my glory. I'll show you a little bit of it, because if you saw my glory, you would die. No man can see my glory and live. And so for God not to manifest all his glory is not setting aside his deity. It is simply an outward understanding, an outward vision of that deity. It's not setting aside the deity. So he was rich, yet I said he became poor. For the Lord Jesus to become poor, that does not mean that he's not God. But the Lord Jesus, when he came to earth, he was fully God. And God proved it the first moment he came into the world. Why? Because it says, when he comes into the world, the Father commands that all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because the Father says of the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And yet the Lord Jesus was he who was cast upon the Father. I was cast upon thee from the womb. And yet in this man that is so weak, who is so powerless, who is so dependent upon others for upholding, you say, how is that? He said himself in the psalm, you made me trust upon my mother's breast. Who do you think it was that sustained the Lord Jesus until he became a man? Why? He was sustained by his mother's breast. Who do you think it was that came and ministered to him after he was tempted by Satan? You say, why, angels came and ministered to him. Yes. So he was the Savior on earth. And who would ever think that all sufficiency was in this man? Who would ever think that this was God manifest in the flesh? But when others came and spoke to the Lord Jesus, when they communed with him, when they abode with him long enough, when they understood, when the Lord Jesus stilled the storm the first time, the disciples said, who is this? Who is this? The second time he did it, they said, this is the Son of God. When Nathanael saw the Lord Jesus, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then when he communed with the Lord Jesus, he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And this blind man, whom he healed in chapter 9 of John, who knew so little of him at first, he said, but I know that he's no sinner. A sinner cannot do these things. They excommunicated him. The Lord Jesus found him and he said, do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? The Lord Jesus, as he said to the woman, I am the Messiah. You are talking to the Messiah. He said, do you believe on the Son of God, the blind man? Who is he, Lord? The Lord Jesus said, you have seen him, and he's talking to you right now. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I want you to understand that this one who looked so insufficient, who needed so much assistance, he is the one that is inherently all-sufficient. The dependent man is the man who is all sufficient, and you will find that he is God manifest in the flesh. And the Father wants you to understand of his sufficiency. Now, I'm telling you of these things. I will tell you a little more about his sufficiency in meeting the needs of men. But what I want to emphasize this morning is that if Christ is all sufficient, why then must men remain hungry if there is one sufficient to meet the need of their hunger? You say, why, there is no need. And if there is one who can answer any question greater than Solomon is here, then why is there any need for man to remain in his ignorance? You say, why, there is no need. And if the power of Satan has been overcome by the Lord Jesus, a stronger than the strong man has come in and has bound him, then why is there any need for Satan to have dominion over the lives of men anymore? He said, why, there is no need. And if your soul is sick with sin, why, since there is one to whom men can come and can find rest unto their souls, why is there any need for you to remain sick and weary of sin in your soul? You say, why, there is no need. But this is what happens in the scripture. That in spite of the Savior who came from heaven, he said, I'm come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Even though he has come, and even though all of these things are at the disposal of men, yet we find all of these needs still existing among men.
because of their will, because of their refusal to come unto the Lord Jesus. And I want to show you some who did respond, some who did come, and that is what is so important. Some who came to themselves. Now think, I'm speaking about those that are physically hungry. That's in John 6. The Lord Jesus met that need. But in Luke 15, the Lord Jesus speaks about a man illustrating spiritual hunger by his physical hunger. And the Lord Jesus tells about how that need is met. Before he left his father, there was a donkey. But in the far country, he spent all that his father had given him in riotous living, and he was reduced to penury and in destitution. He was eating swine, and he was hungry, and he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I'm sitting here with the swine, and I'm hungry. He said, I will arise and go to my father. I understand that. All along, there was the love of his father. There was abundance of sustenance waiting for him. But he would never enjoy it as long as he stayed in that far country feeding swine. But it says he came to himself, and he said, I'm going to go home to my father. And when he did, the father's arms were extended. And he was willing to take the lowest of places when he came home. His father said he was going to get the best place. Now, I ask you this. Why, if there are those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if there are those that are hungry for the bread of God that came down from heaven, those that are thirsting for the water of life that Jesus Christ can give, if he had not come, you need remain in that condition. But the Lord Jesus said, I am come. If any man hunger, let him come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. So there is no longer any need for men who hunger and thirst spiritually, because the Lord Jesus has come and has shown us that we can meet that need. You say, yes. And concerning the power of Satan over the lives of men, it need exist no longer, because the Lord Jesus, who heard of the failure of even those closest to him, he said to the Father, bring that son to me. And the Lord Jesus spoke the word, and when Christ speaks the word, the power of Satan is broken, and no longer can he hold them in his power. And then the Lord Jesus, and this is so beautiful, the son that had been lost, he takes the son, and he brings him to the Father. You see, why need men remain in the power of Satan when the all-sufficient Savior has demonstrated that he has more power than Satan? The Lord confesses that Satan is a strong man. He's pulling on. He said that there's one who is stronger than he, who comes, who destroys everything in which he, that strong man, trusted. He said, he destroys it, and he distributes his spoils. And the Lord Jesus is the strongest of men. He is the stronger than the strong man. There's no one stronger than Satan other than the Lord Jesus. Only he is able to break the power of Satan over the lives of men. So, if the Lord Jesus had not come, then there would be no victory over the power of Satan. It's like this. When Goliath was walking up and down in the valley, challenging Israel, getting a man, and Israel cowered, fell back. But David came, and he said, what is happening here? And was told of the challenge of the giant. He said, I'm not afraid of that giant. He said, God has helped me with a lion and with a bear. There will be no difference with this uncircumcised Philistine. Let me have a contest with him. And you remember, he ran, and he sang that stone and struck him in the forehead. And then that strong giant that had overpowered the nation of Israel, he was brought to an end in a moment of time. And Satan, that strong man, has been met by David, a stronger man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Goliath was overcome by David,
So Satan has been overcome by the Lord Jesus.
No.
If David has come and destroyed Goliath, yes, there's a coward as the giant did for his challenge. But if there is a David who can meet that challenge and has destroyed the giant, why be afraid any longer? You say, why, I do not have to be afraid anymore. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, and might free them who all their lifetime, who fear of death, were subject to bondage. The Lord Jesus has come and destroyed him who had the power of death. And the Lord Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell. He said, I died in destroying Satan, but through my death I have destroyed him that has the power of death. And he says, now I have the keys of death and hell. And he says, and therefore all that want me. So think of all of these things that are in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, they are for you. Because he is the one who feeds the hungry. It says, he saw the multitude. And he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were hungry. And he looked at the world. And he sees the world filled with hunger and need. Infinite. And the Lord Jesus said, I have compassion on them. Happened to sit down. And when they sit down, and they will accept from his hand and the hands passed to his disciples the bread that he gave them, then they're satisfied. They were all filled, and there were 12 baskets were left over. So why need you remain hungry? You say, I do not have to remain hungry. And why do you have to remain in the far country, away from the fellowship of the Father? You say, I do not have to anymore. And why do you have to remain under the power of Satan? You say, I do not have to anymore. Then the only reason you do is not because of the insufficiency of Christ, but the unwillingness on your part. This is what it says in Isaiah. It says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. There was no lack in God. There was no lack in the sufficiency of Christ. But it is your sin that you continue to hold on to. You will not forsake your sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his course, and let him return unto the Lord. And just as in Luke 15, that son who had been in the far country was welcomed by the Father, so when you come home, you will be welcomed by the Lord Jesus, because he's already given that invitation. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what is doubly important is this. He has just been upbraiding men because they did not repent at the abundance of evidence that he had given. Then began he to upbraid those cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee! And having pronounced the woes and given all the upbraiding, then he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, why, of course. Now think, what is so remarkable is this, that that young son in the far country knew that there was bread in his father's house, but he was wondering if his father would take him back. That's why he had this story. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. If you have such thoughts, as sinful as I am, I turn my back on God. I departed far from him. I wonder if he will take me back. The Savior has demonstrated by the Father's open arms and the abundance of kisses that he gave him that he will take you back. Well, I wonder if there is power in Christ to deliver me from my bondage of sin. That is why Christ, who was in the mountain when men were powerless on earth, that is why he showed you that when he came down and personally encountered Satan in his power, he freed that son under satanic power. That is why he did it, that you might know that he can deliver you from your sin. And you say, my soul is so weary of sin. That is why the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest unto your soul. And that is how Paul puts it, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So there is all sufficiency in the Lord Jesus. Any question you have, the Lord can answer. Any power that is over your life, the Lord Jesus can break it. And any hunger in your heart for the things of God, the Lord Jesus can supply them. He is the all-sufficient Savior. Come unto Him. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are glad that whereas in time past, in many parts and in many manners, you spoke and revealed yourself unto men, we are glad that in these last days, you spoke and revealed yourself unto us in your Son, the all-sufficient Son. And we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All that you are, our Father, we see in Him. And many of us here, like Job, like the Queen of Sheba, have heard, but now we have seen, we have experienced it, and we confess that half has not been told. There may be some here who have not had that experience. By your Spirit, draw them, open their eyes, and let Christ become precious to them. We ask in His name. Amen.